All right, I'm back at it again with another one. Okay, so I want to talk. I was thinking, I was like, I guess I do this every night, think about random shit. I need to take a break from social media again, stop jerking off and shit. But that's not the point. That's not important. The point is that I was thinking about what kind of partner I want in the future, like when I do get a partner, because I'm telling myself I'm like, I will get one. I will have a partner. I will have a girlfriend slash boyfriend. Hopefully that turns into a marriage, but we'll see. The point is, I know I want one. So I'm thinking about what I want in a partner, and one things I do want in a partner for me personally is just I want there to be a basically like you know how for some reason like sometimes I see online that there's this mentality where if you want if a guy wants his girlfriend or wife to be just be a decent wife, like take care of the house, take care of the kids, don't do single activities when you're married or when you're with a partner, when you know, like they think that that the women are becoming slaves. Like that's not, no, that's not how this works, okay? I want a partner that's able to take care of the home. Because if I am the breadwinner, if she's a breadwinner, then we can talk about that, okay? Then we can talk about what I'm supposed to do when I'm home and when she's what she's doing when she's gone. You know what I mean? I can be the home taken care of if she's the breadwinner, right? But 9 times out of 10, for me, I want to be the one who's making the money. If she wants to make money on her own, she can, right? And that's fine. It's like, and basically what I'm getting at is that the problem though is that there needs to be levels of communication, right? There needs to be communication being had. Because if she wants to be an OnlyFans or if she wants to do sex work or whatever, being a porn star or whatever, right? But that's generally if that's what she wants to do and get paid for it, cool. But you need to come talk to me about it first, right? You need to talk to your partner about it, okay? Because that means that you can't have a monogamous relationship anymore. You can't. In my brain, you can't. You can't have a monogamous relationship if you are doing sex work. You just can't. The partnership, the relationship has to be open relationship. It has to be an open partnership, okay? Polyamorous or or on non-monogamous. You know what I mean? Because the guy, because the guy is into you for a reason. He likes you. So the guy doesn't want you just fucking off and just fucking with random dudes that he doesn't know. Even if he does know them, you know what I mean? Like you gotta be able to, tell the guy up front before you even get into a relationship, it's like, hey, I want to do sex work. Legal sex work, okay? And how do you feel about that, right? And the guy has to tell you, like, okay, well, I'm not the biggest fan of that. I don't think I want my partner doing that. And if now it's up to you to figure out if you want to be with this person and not do the sex work and do something else that he's okay with you doing, right? It's the same thing for the guy. It's the same thing if a woman gets into a partnership with a guy and the guy wants to do sex work, he must tell her that he wants to do sex work because he can't just go around and start fucking other bitches, okay? Because that's not because that's because you're breaking the monogamous bond, okay? You gotta have an open relationship if you want to do that. You got to. All right. That's all. That's kind of just the mentality that I'm thinking of. Another one is like, for me, like I want a partner that's like, it's easy to be like, it's easy to play into your kinks, right? I don't think a lot of people really understand how much your kinks and your trauma are linked. I don't think people understand that as much as, you know, like, they admit. You know what I mean? Like, the amount of, like, the amount of shit that I am kinky, that I'm kinky with, like, I have a kink about, right? A sexual kink. That shit, most of that stuff comes from when I was little. Okay? Because of some traumatic event you went through when you was little. That's it. It doesn't have to be directly correlated, but I think the way I look at it, I think that the process of sexualizing something that happened to you when you was little is part of kind of like your, like, if you get introduced into, I think, sex way too early. Like, I got introduced to it middle school, I think, because I had a phone and I got on the internet, you know, kind of, not too much, but I got onto the internet enough to where I found porn sites and stuff. So, like, that's, you know, so I was in middle school, late middle school, I think. And I think that's too early, you know, because now everything can be seen as a kink in my brain, right? There's a lot of things that I've seen over the years, you know, but that's the thing, right? That's what makes it interesting, is that people don't realize that the shit that you go through when you're young can turn into a kink later, right? And if you start to react, if you start to live your life based off of those kinks, it really does ruin your life. It does. Like, genuinely, it does. I think it ruins a lot of people's lives, especially in America right now. That's the best. I can't really say for other countries, of course, but in America, that's how I'm seeing it. A lot of people are reacting off of their trauma and off of their kinks, which is either directly or indirectly connected to their trauma. So at the end of the day, everybody's reacting based off their trauma. So people getting triggered, right? People getting offended is them being offended over something that triggered their PTSD or their traumatic state, right? And because nobody is talking about it and nobody is, like, having an actual conversation, and everybody is just kind of like going with the flow on the internet, and nobody's actually having conversations with us, with the people on the internet who are on the internet all the time, they are continuously acting in these traumatic states. Always. There's always an emotional response. Always. There's always something emotional, right? And then the internet reacts to that. So all the advertisement is going to get you in an emotional state, right? So all the advertisements, all the everything that's trying to gain some type of attention is going to use emotion. That's just how you advertise to people, right? An emotional response, right? Once you get an emotional response from somebody, you have them either invested or you have them hating you. One of the two on the internet, right? And I find that interesting because it's kind of like, well, I mean, so what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, what happens, you know? What happens now that you're aware of that? Well, I don't know, you know? Like, you have to figure out a way to stop letting yourself get getting offended about everything. Stop letting yourself get triggered by something someone else says. Because the thing is like, them saying it, they're not actively trying to offend you unless they are, unless they're saying something. Unless they actively are saying that they know that this is offensive to somebody, right? And then they say it anyway. Then obviously, you know, or somebody tells them, hey, that's offensive, and they continue to do it knowing that you heard them hear you say that to them, you know, then that's different. But a lot of times, I could just be saying something, right? Just because I'm talking. And because I'm talking, somebody can overhear it and hear a word that triggers them, and they can say, oh my god, you're some type of ist, they're talking about, oh, you're a ist, you know, some type of, like, racist, sexist, you know, this, that, and this, you know, because they are reacting based off of their trauma in their own personal lives. Them getting offended, like, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing I've always thought about when it comes to getting offended and cancel culture and stuff. Somebody else getting offended over something you say has nothing to do with you. I want y'all to understand this, okay? You saying something and it offending somebody else has nothing to do with what you said. You as a person. It has everything to do with that person, how they perceived what you said. So that is not really your fault. Unless you are actively aware that that person is going to get offended by that thing, and you say it to their face anyway, then that's on you. And it's still on both of y'all now, right? Because you knew that they was going to get offended, and you still said it. But because they also knew that they can get offended by certain things, and they heard it, and they still got offended, knowing that it's coming from a traumatic response, or maybe they don't know it, but they know that it's not, they're not being rational, it's still on them, okay? Because they chose to be offended. They chose to let themselves get to that point. They didn't stop themselves, right? And that's the funny thing, because that's why I don't really get offended about things. Yeah, I'm not perfect. We're all human. So, of course, I get offended by some things every once in a while. But it's rare that I get offended by anything. Because I understand that people are just talking, right? And when they talk, they're talking from what they're used to hearing, right? They're talking from experience. You can't say anything. You can't have a dialogue. You can't have an intelligent dialogue. Or even a non-intelligent dialogue. You can't have any type of dialogue as a human being without that dialogue coming from somebody else that taught it to you. Everything you say is taught to you. Alright? All of it. It's all taught. There's nothing that you say that hasn't been taught to you. Because that's just how human beings work. They had to be taught something for them to regurgitate it later. Because that's just how it is. Right? So, you getting offended, right, is something that was taught to you. Right? It doesn't mean, just because I say taught, doesn't mean that somebody actively sat you down and told you something and taught you anything. Being taught, look, kids, are the ultimate sponge. They learn from every single thing around them, all of it, right? There is nothing that they don't learn from. We, as human beings, when we're young, we take everything in, all of it. Every single little detail around us, we have to understand damn near everything for us to fully be functional in society. So that means they have to take in everything that's around them. And because of that, including the parents, if they look at the parents do something and the parents don't explicitly tell them that, right? Or if the parents tell them to not do something, or the parents tell them to, for instance, they say, you know, do what I do and not what I say. Or like, do what I say and not what I do. For example, that's a better one. Do what I say and not what I do. You can't tell a child that. You know why? Because a child is going to look at both what you say and what you do. And the fact that you told them to not look at what you do and do what they say means that they're going to be even more aware of what you do, and then they're going to do what you do. Because you told them not to, right? So what that means is you should just not do that thing. If you don't want your child to do a thing, don't do that thing, okay? If you don't want your child to lie, then don't fucking lie. You know what I mean? Then, like, or if you do lie to them, right? Make sure they don't find out until after they're, like, a teenager. Because by the time they're a teenager, a lot of things have been set in stone. So, like, you know, if you have to lie to them. But the chances are, there's no need for you to lie about to your child about anything, okay? All you have to do, like, is just not tell them. All I have to do is just be like, you'll understand when you're older, or I'll tell you when you're older. You know what I mean? Like, use those. You don't have to lie to them. There's no need to lie, because then the kid's gonna have to believe. Then the kid, when they turn older and they realize that you lied to them, they're gonna be upset that you lied to them. So, like, what's the point in lying? If a child asks a question, answer the question. All right. The child will be like, how are babies born? Okay. Well, I don't want to explain that to you right now because you're like six. So, like, I'll tell you when you get older. Easy. Or you could be like, you'll know when you get older. Right? That's it. That's all you gotta do. Right? And if they keep asking, just keep saying that. You know, keep, like, because the thing is, like, everything you do, like I said, everything you do, the child sees. Everything you say, the child hears. Even if you go into the room with your significant other and y'all argue about something, the child knows that you're arguing. They don't know why you're arguing. They just know that there is a negative energy coming from the room. And then because kids are selfish, they're going to think everything is their fault. Right? They're going to think, oh, must be something I did. Right? Because they don't know any better. I don't know if I just went on this weird, completely random tangent, but it's all in the, it's this episode is all about family, okay? We're talking about family and trauma, okay? So I just want people to understand that, you know, like, these are just, like, what the stuff I say, I try to be as, like, just factual as possible. I don't want to be wrong. If I am wrong, then, you know, I'll admit it when I find out that I'm wrong. But, you know, a lot of stuff that I think I talk about, you can't really debunk anything because it's like, I'm just talking from experience, really, right? I'm talking from experience. You can't tell me that my experience is wrong because it's my own experience, right? But I digress. The point is that there's no point specifically. There's not really a point. It's just I'm just talking. And yeah, you know, I would love it in the future if I was to hire an animator and just animate these episodes. Just, you know, because why not? I think that'd be funny. Or cool. That'd be cool to see. Just animate it out. You know, be like, hey, it's your boy, Senku. You know, hey, what's up? I don't know. Anyway. Boy. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. I'm just ready for more money in my life. I'm just ready for money. I'm ready. Like, I'm sick of being broke. I got food stamps, but, like, that's because I don't have a job and, you know, I need food in the house. So, like, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? And it's like, well, you know, kind of sucks because I'm talking about these things on this podcast channel and I'm like, I don't even have any money to my name. I don't have any money to my name right now. I got, like, maybe $2 officially, you know, like, so, like, what the fuck? Like, what do I do? Yeah, I don't know what happened, but the recording stopped mid-recording, so, anyway, yeah, I don't have any money to my name right now, but I'm working on it, you know, and I had this audition that I went to, and I was excited, and, you know, I went in, and, you know, it was cool, and we did the whole, we had, like, a little group audition that they did, and it was cool, but I didn't get it, because, well, I think I just kind of, like, froze in a bunch, like, because I didn't realize that I had, like, low-key, like, crippling, like, social anxiety,
Right.
And the problem with that is, like, how can you be an actor and have social anxiety? You know what I mean? But it is what it is, you know, so it kind of sucks. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. I'm upset because that could have been a job that I could have really enjoyed, but it is what it is. But I'm kind of like upset because one of the things that I find really annoying is if I want to be in the acting community or in the realm, it kind of like one of those things where I kind of feel like, if I want to find auditions, I gotta like pay for that shit. Like, why the fuck do I have to pay you to help me find auditions? Why can't you just show me where the auditions are happening and then I can like email them or I can sign up for like a what's it called, a wait list or whatever. You know what I mean? Like basic shit. Why the fuck do I have to pay you a certain amount of money for you to tell me where the fucking auditions are happening? You know what I mean? Like, it's just dumb. But I guess at the same time, you know, you think about it and it's like, well, they gotta make money for the website somehow, right? And it's just like, I guess, but it's just like, it's just dumb because, like, there's gotta be ways to actually find out. Like, how do they find out? You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. Like, how do they find out? And how do I skip the middleman and just find out myself? You know what I mean? Like, and just find out when and where they're doing it. And then just fucking show up without having to pay these websites to show me. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it's like low key a scam. Like low key, it feels like a scam. Because I'm like, I bet you if you dig deep enough, you can just find out where all the auditions are. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay a website to fucking show you or tell you when and where the auditions are happening, you know? But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how the industry works. All I know is that I make videos on YouTube and I just, you know, I would love to be in a movie, you know. I think it'll be really fun. But one day I'll make my own movies as well, and I'll be in movies, and I'll be a pretty, you know, that's the, you know, to be a big and popular filmmaker, actor, director, you know, kind of like Michael B. Jordan, you know. What else, man? I'm just chilling, you know, trying to figure life out. I don't know. My YouTube channel is kind of like, it's not like, I don't know if, I won't say it's dead because my videos still get views. It's just, it feels like I might be in a transitional period right now. And I am in transitional period because I'm working on like doing, I'm getting better at editing, you know, or maybe I'm just changing up my editing style. That's kind of more accurate. I'm changing up my editing style. I kind of want to do faceless, you know, see how well that works, and you know, put my face in every once in a while type stuff. Because I don't know, I see a lot of video essay channels do that, and I kind of feel like it might be the move. I don't know. Or maybe just my topics and the stuff that I talk about is not interesting enough. You know, because the thing is about anime, it's like the problem with having an anime channel is like the whole idea of like the money making side of it is not it's not big, it's not the greatest, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that lucrative, if I'm being honest. Like, you like the biggest thing that probably is the like the most we call it is like the biggest money maker, if you really want, if you're if like at the highest level, is like sponsorships and brand deals with like anime companies, like at the highest of the high, right? Viz Media, you know, sponsors your channel. Viz Media does a brand deal with you, right? Or you can do it with Crunchyroll, Funimation, or you know, or you can do it with like anime games. You can do it with like anime mobile games and shit. I've seen those a lot, you know, and it's kind of like, it's like, man, like, it doesn't feel like the amount of money you can make is kind of, I don't know, like, it feels like it's not as high as like other, like, say if you want to do like a DIY channel, if you do a DIY a DIY YouTube channel, like the amount of money you can make from that is in fucking sane. It's actually insane. You can make so much money off of that shit. And that's what pisses me off. You know why it pisses me off? It's because it pisses me off because I decided to make an anime YouTube channel, right? When I could have did movie stuff, right? And it probably would have been better. I probably would have been better off if I was stuck to making movie reviews or stuff like that. Or actually, if I would have stuck to my music, if I would have stuck to reacting to music on my Isaiah Senku channel, I promise you, I probably would have had at least over 10K subs right now. I bet you I probably would have had over 10K subs. I'm at 1K. That's telling you something. I feel like I would have had over 10K. If I would have doubled down and did more music video and music reactions, I probably would have been at 10K right now. And low key, that shit fucks with me. That shit still fucks with me. Even though I stopped doing music reactions for a good reason, I still feel the sting of not doing them anymore. I still feel the sting. You know, business wise, it probably was the dumbest decision to make. If I want to make money from this YouTube shit, doing fucking music reactions would have been, or just reacting to stuff in general, right, would have been more lucrative because I would have been a reaction channel. And reaction channels get fucking views, dude. They get views. It's insane, right? And that shit stings. It hurts. It hurts to think about the potential I could have, where I could have been, right? And it sucks. It hurts. It does hurt. It genuinely does hurt. Because I made that decision, and I can't go back on that decision. I mean, I could, but like I don't want to, because there was because the thing is about like reacting to music and stuff is like there's a lot of drama during the era that I was doing it was like during the like what 2019 yeah 2018 2019 2018 and 19 era was when I was doing like the reactions. That I think was the time when the shit was popping off the most was reaction videos. That's when shit was popping off the most. Because if I would have done it, if I would have kept to it, and I would have been doing it for 5 years now,
Yeah, I would have been hitting some serious numbers, because like it's not like it's hard, it's not like it's easy, not easy. I'm sorry, it's not like it's hard to do the videos. It's not hard to do the videos at all. What's hard about them is that you have to deal with copyright. You have to deal with getting hit with strikes. You have to deal with hit with getting copyright claims because obviously you're reacting to the video, reacting to music, and you know. They don't want you getting paid for something that you didn't make yourself. So like that was a whole battle as well, and I didn't want to have to deal with that as well. There's so many reasons why I didn't want to continue to do reaction videos, but yeah. Don't know. I'm just really at like a really tough place right now, trying to figure out like fuck, man. There's so many different routes to take that I could take that I think I could be successful at, and I put myself on probably the hardest road. I probably picked the hardest road, you know? It's weird to say, but like I think it's true. Sometimes I feel like I really shot myself in the foot by switching to doing anime content. Yeah. But I'm gonna still do it because I love anime and I feel like I could do something here, but I just don't know what, 'cause my ideas are like I wanna do like I'm trying to do like theory videos, you know, I wanna do theories, you know. I think that'd be really fun. But theorizing about anime is kinda like not really a lot of anime are not really theorizable or like they don't really make it easy to theorize because a lot of times like a lot of shit that happens in anime is kind of easy to predict if you're aware, you know, of how certain things work in the, I guess, at least in the Shonen Jump, you know, in the Shonen Jump area, you know. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is different because obviously it's a completely different universe and different generation, all that stuff. So that's different. But like the most popular anime shows are I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just so much. It's just not. I just don't feel the same way I feel about anime the way I feel about theorizing about like Marvel and Disney and you know what I mean? Like if I could, you know. I could make my whole channel and just make videos about theorizing about movies and shit if I wanted to. But I honestly don't think I'm that smart enough to really do that. Because that would mean I have to watch the movies again and you know I don't know, like I have to watch them again and I would have to like find like pirated movies. I don't want to do all that extra work, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I know what I want to I'll tell you right now. I'll tell y'all right now, and then I'm gonna get off. I know what I want to do. What I genuinely want to do. All I really want to do is just upload and it's just like make skits and just make. My fucking stories, you know, just record myself acting. And that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I really want to do. I feel like I should do that on like on a second channel or something, you know, where I just kind of like just upload like videos of just me just doing whatever in front of the camera because. An acting bit or whatever, you know, I don't know. Like I feel like it would really. I think that may be something I might need to start doing, cause I like it feels like something's missing, cause I just can't, like, it's hard to just only focus on one thing, one anime channel. And I'm just like, but I want to act, I want to be in movies, I want to be in my own movies, I want to make my own shit, but I brought myself into a corner by doing this anime channel. Now if I don't do an anime video, it's not going to get views. And if I want to make money, I got to get views. And to get views, I got to pander to the fucking audience. And I can't do what I want to do. It pisses me off, man. But it is what it is. I got to treat it like a business. Otherwise I'm never going to go anywhere in life, if I'm being honest. I got to take this shit dead serious. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got to say tonight. I'll see y'all in the next video, or not video, sorry. Next podcast episode or whatever. Peace.